Welcome to Land Academy. This is the Cash Flow from Land Show, where we show you how to buy unwanted vacant land and sell it for more on the internet. I'm Steve Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We are your hosts. With over 15,000 completed transactions, we are the experts in this niche land flipping business.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com. All right, let's get this show started.
Steve Butella here for Land Academy. Welcome to our Cash Flow from Land show. In this episode, Jill and I talk about the MLS, the multiple listing service, versus perfect real estate data as a way to buy undervalued property. Jill, I'm glad this topic came up and I'm glad we're talking about it because I get questions, and I'm sure you do too, every single week. So let's explore the pros and cons of using both. But before we do, as always, let's take a question from a caller.
Cool. All right. So Mike from Bend, Oregon called in and asked, I bought and sold a property here in Oregon that was posted on LandWatch and have never taken or never changed the status from available to sold. Okay. I'm getting a lot of calls from interested buyers who want to buy the land, but it's already sold. That's funny. Is it okay? I love it. Is it okay to keep it up there and collect and build a list of buyers that way? Oh, yeah. The answer is absolutely yes. You are going to get people blowing up your call, but I got two things to say about this.
Let me just paraphrase for what Mike's saying. So what happens is you buy a bunch of property or you buy some properties and you post. We teach this. Post them all over these certain little niche places all over the internet, where people are searching for rural vacant land. And one of the places that we love is landwatch.com. No affiliation at all. And so apparently Mike posted this property. Somebody bought it, as it should all work like clockwork. But he forgot to take it down as for sale and just kept it up there. So people kept calling in when they were interested.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he meant to do it. It was kind of accidental, but now he's still getting all these things. So the first thing I would say is, Mike, go buy some more of that property.
Yeah, exactly.
Seriously.
Solve
that problem. Solve it that way. You clearly know there's a desire for it. So go buy some more and come up with some other options.
Would you take it down? Would you take the posting down if people are calling?
You know, I might just say I'm working on getting, I might take the call and say I'm working on getting more. Sit tight, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. I'll get back to you and keep their information. Now you know who you have. Mike is slowly getting a nice. Here's what I would do. Mike would be right now sending out a mailer for the exact same size, whatever it was, all the 5-acre properties in that same county in Oregon. And then he's going to buy a couple. And then he's going to immediately turn around and he's going to market it to, without even doing any work, he's going to immediately market it to those 20 people that were so fired up that he has their phone numbers and their emails and they're going to buy it.
I agree with you.
That's what I would do.
Completely agree with it. That's how that should be handled. But I think what he's asking is it ethical to keep a property posted up there for sale that's already sold? That's what I think the nature of the question is.
Are you sure that's what he's asking?
No.
Okay.
I'm just throwing it out there at you.
Well, technically it's sold. Is there any harm or any foul? No. Is someone like checking, you know, I agree with you.
Yeah. Well, I think the answer is hell no.
Yeah.
I think the answer is hell yes, it's ethical. Hell yes, keep it up there.
Yeah, it's fine.
And, you know, and service, again, just give your customers what they want. If you got a hot property, I'll tell you, this happens to us.
Yeah.
Frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we put it under contract and sometimes we keep it up there maybe for an extra couple of weeks or something just to see.
See if there's really an interest.
If there's a huge interest. If there is, we send another mailer out and give the customer what they want.
Exactly. You're never going to really sell it double because that is unethical.
Never want to do that.
That's the point. But you're always going to say, hey, you know what? I'm sorry. It is sold.
Yeah.
But,
by the way, never want to sell a piece of property twice.
You think?
There's laws for that and stuff.
Yeah, kind of. That's
Thanks
hilarious.
For bringing that up. You know, it's second nature to us because we're in the business, but
wouldn't it
be funny if somebody called in and said, hey, I got 3 buyers for this property. Should I sell them all?
Oh my gosh. Could you
imagine?
That's gonna
happen.
That's horrible.
That's a mess.
No, I just think of that was one of our shows. People in the 70s used to do that. It was a big scam and that was illegal, obviously.
Right.
And you never, ever want to do that. I mean, come on. They'll catch up with you. Don't do that. However, you be honest and say, you know what? I'm working on getting some more. you know, I'll get back to you. And everybody, and they'll be so excited and thankful too, by the way. You're like, all right, absolutely. Let me know. I loved that one. I can't wait to get another one in just like that.
Right.
So that's a good question.
Hey, we got that out of the way. What else is going on?
All right.
What's the topic about?
So I want to talk about this topic because this is so good. This is important to me. Okay. So here's what I've experienced. And this is why I really want excited to do this show. I know, and I know you know, we know people that have actually gone through the steps of enrolling in real estate school, paying however much it costs, $600,000, I don't know what it is now, spending the, taking 2 weeks off work and doing the fast track, or 6 weeks doing the slow track where they're at class every single night and on the weekends to get their real estate license. Oh, and by the way, you got to take a test at the school. Then you got to study again, take a test for the state. Then you got to pay to get your state license. Then you got to find a broker and get licensed with a broker. And then finally, now you have access to the MLS.
It's like $1,500 in Arizona, or two. I've heard it's like between $1,500 and $2,000 by the time you get done.
Right.
To get access to the MLS.
And all the money and the time and the effort that went into it just to have that.
If you live under a rock and don't know what the multiple listing service is, the MLS is where real estate agents put, they list property on behalf of other people. That's why you have to get a real estate license to represent someone else. So if, you know, Jack Smith comes to real estate agent X and says, hey, I got this property, I want to sell it. Then real estate agent X posts it on the MLS. So all the other real estate agents, it's an exclusive little club. If I sound like I'm making fun of it, I am. Exclusive little club that no one can be allowed it to unless you pay the fee. Mm-hmm. And then and then you have the privilege of thumbing through the listings, the overpriced, overrepresented listings that are there.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's the retail.
It's buying a car at a dealership.
Right. A brand new car.
Which I've done one time in my life and I never will do again.
It's buying a car at a dealership, paying the price on the sticker.
Yeah, paying the sticker price, Jill. That's exactly right.
Well, it says, 42111. So how do I make the checkout?
And then getting all the other stuff that the sales guy sells you, like that. Remember the undercoating? When you were a kid, did you have to get undercoating?
Undercoating? Not in Southern California. No, that's like for salt on the roads, right?
In Michigan and Detroit, you get the undercoating.
Yeah.
And it's like $800. Oh, back then, in like the 70s, it was $800.
No, we don't have that. No, we don't do that.
Anyway, so that's what the multiple listing service is. So tons and tons of people come to us and say, oh, I got this property. I got it. Well, I found it in the MLS and I got 10%. I negotiated down and we say, I don't think that's how you do this.
Well, my whole point is they go through all that effort to get access to the MLS, and everyone in the business that's been around for a while agrees that by the time it hits the MLS, it's not a good deal anymore.
Yeah.
It's been out there for a while.
Somebody got there before you.
Yeah.
You want to be the first person to the seller.
Nobody says, oh, let's hurry. I mean, I want to get on the MLS. I'd rather sell it that way. I just want to sell. I want to sell it. You want to find these deals before they get to the MLS. You want to find the deal when the seller is excited to sell and they're just getting their ducks in a row and cleaning up their property kind of thing, or they haven't even got that far yet. You know what I mean? It's
right.
Like, I think of it like a home seller. Once husband and wife Smith decide they want to sell, they're thinking about the price and now they're looking around their house going, well, shoot, we got to clean out the garage. We got to make this look better. If we really want to sell, we need to do that stuff.
Right.
You want to buy it from them right then. And they want to sell it that too, because they don't really want to do the work.
Yeah. What you want to do is send an offer. So picture this. Picture a little subdivision wherever you are, a group of houses, I don't know, 50, 100 houses. And you send a letter to everybody and it doesn't say, hey, I'm really interested in buying your house. Why don't you give me a call so we can talk about it? Don't do that. That's a waste of time and your phone's going to blow up because everybody wants to sell their stuff. Send them a letter that says, and this is what we teach, I would like to buy your house for $100,000. I have the cash ready. I'm not an agent. I'm an owner. and me and my family want to buy it fast. And we'd like to pay on Friday. Believe me, you're going to get some calls back.
Mm-hmm.
And do that, that $100,000 number came in because it's probably worth $140,000.
Mm-hmm.
And it's shocking how many responses you'll get. So, and if they don't want to sell it right now, trust me, they have a little file somewhere, a paper file. They're going to put that offer in it and put it away.
And they'll call you in 2 years.
All the postcards they get that say, hey, we pay cash for houses. Call the 888, screw you.
And it's
those get tossed in the
two
garbage.
To residents.
Yeah, to Jack Smith or current resident.
Exactly.
That's exactly how not to do that, Julie.
Right.
that's the whole concept. The same thing with land. You say, you know, we get calls from mailers that we've sent out from like 2003 and 2004, mm-hmm. 10 years later, because
yep.
they kept it. And whatever event in their life triggered the fact that they want to sell it now, they're ready to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And ours is the only one in the file.
Right.
With an actual offer price and a time.
Right. Well, and to go back to what this whole show is about, it's MLS versus perfect data. How did we get all that? We have the perfect data.
We have the first American title data. The same data that the largest title company in the world, I think they're the largest, or if not the top three, use to write title policies. And believe me, they have a vested interest in making sure that the title insurance policies that they write is backed by good data and ownership data.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we are a licensed provider of that data. That's what our data to doorstep product is. So why would you sit and peruse? Here's my question, Jill.
Right.
Sit and peruse the MLS. Let's say you have a friend who's a real estate agent. And you don't even go through the thing that Jill just described. You sit down with this friend in front of the computer and you say, oh, I want to buy some 5-acre properties in northern Arizona. And you put your wish list in. And bang, 50 of them pop up. And so then what do? You get on the phone, you call the agents. The agents don't care, and on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
It's just it's a show. It's a show of I've tried it. Will you get lucky once in a while and somebody will accept the offer? Yeah, then the agent has to write the 14-page or 18-page offer.
Right.
It has to get sent to them. And, you know, if I sound cynical about it, I am.
Mm-hmm.
Why not just get all organized and sort for in the First American database that's provided by us, sort for all the 5-acre properties in the area that you want, take all the people who have mortgages out because aren't even possible. They can't sell the properties. They can't negotiate the deal that you want. Send them a letter and pick the ones that you want.
But wait, don't I have to be a licensed realtor to do this?
No, we should do a little role play, like a skit. Want to do one right now?
You want to? Like you're going to be the, okay.
Which one do you want?
Okay.
To
be? I'm going to be me. And you're going to be the realtor because you've got this property.
I have it listed?
Yeah.
I have the MLS access.
You have the MLS. You have the MLS listing. This is going to be funny.
Right.
This is not rehearsed, everyone. Let me just preface this. Okay. I'm calling because I found this property. It's $5,000.
Okay.
And it's 5 acres.
And I'm the listing agent.
It's 10 acres. It's 10 acres. And I know this is a crazy price, but I want that 10 acres and I need to talk to you about it. You have it listed for $5,000, which is stupid. We all know. So anyway.
Thanks. I'm the agent. I'll pick up the phone.
You're the agent who answers the phone. Okay. So here we go. Ring, ring. Hi, my name's Jill. I just saw your list.
Hello.
You're in your car.
I'm sorry. You're breaking up. Go ahead. What? Who is this?
Hi, my name is Jill.
What? I'm sorry, what?
I'm calling about the 5 acres that you have listed in Navajo County for $5,000. Or, yeah, whatever it is. So 10 acres listed for $5,000 in Navajo County. Is that still available?
I'm not sure. What are you talking about? 5 acres. Oh, yes. Yeah, no, I have that. That's been listed for 2 years. You know, I probably shouldn't even be up there. I think that listing expired like a year ago.
Well, what's going
on
with it?
But are you interested in it?
I am interested. I want to make an offer, but it's not going to be $5,000. I'm going to make a more realistic offer.
It's listed for $5,000?
Yes.
Oh, I can't offer $500 for that.
No, here's the deal. It's listed for $5,000. I'll give you $1,000.
Oh, that's not even worth it for me to, I'm sorry. What was your name?
Jill.
Jill, I'm Steve.
Hi, Steve.
I've got a house over here that I just listed. I just came back from the listing appointment.
No.
It's a great deal. You should go look at this.
That's great. No.
Where are you calling from? You know, I just looked you up on the internet, and you're really pretty.
From your car.
Would you like to go out
and have
a cup of coffee?
And discuss this offer? No. Look, Steve.
How much are you willing to pay for this house that I just listed? I'm going to send you a picture right now.
Dude, sorry, I just said dude. I didn't mean to do that. I will give you $1,000 for that 10-acre property. Or is this something even...
I got to be honest, Jill. It's just not worth my time to... You know, I listed that property for a friend of mine anyway, and I think he sold it. I'm not sure. I really don't know what's going on, and it's not worth my time to go through all the work to submit an offer for $1,000. My commission would be like $38. So I'd really rather... This house that I just listed is really... that's something you should look at.
Okay, thank you for your time, Steve.
Bite me.
Bye. You're so silly. Do you know, you just brought up something else that's so important. How do we know this is even a current listing? That could have been up there for 2 years. And his friend, who he talked into putting on the MLS form, which didn't make any sense for this property because it's, you know... it might have been sold, or who knows what happened.
The way that we buy property, it doesn't make sense for agents to list it at all because they just don't make any money on it. It's not their fault. They get paid on commission. They get, you know, between however it's structured, 1.5% to 6% if they're a designated broker on the buy and the sell side. So 6% of $1,000 is like, what, $60 or something? I don't know. Mm-hmm. 600? Doesn't matter.
You know what? The smartest guy that I know I met this guy, well, not in person, but we have an online relationship, which is not
where is this going?
That sounds kind of funny. It's not a dating thing. I don't even think we've even spoken on the phone, but we communicate and he throws me properties all the time. Cause you know what? The good news is he's a smart real estate agent. He's only interested in what he wants to do, properties and flipping and all that. But any deal like, anything small, not small, but, you know, any cash, land-only thing, he just throws them to me. And it's funny because I keep telling him, why aren't you doing these deals? And he's like, I don't want to do them.
It's just a different mentality. But there's nothing wrong with that.
But he's not even trying to get into it and try to mark them up because it is a waste of his time. The best thing he can do, he's helping out his sellers and turning them to me, which is fantastic.
Right. So I hope our silly little skit made our point that the other point I wanted to make on this is that it takes a lot of time to flip through the MLS and make offers and do all of that. Can something come of it? Yeah. I purchased property a long time ago. I don't do it anymore at all through the MLS by doing that. But it's these mistakes that I've made I've honed in the way that we buy property because of things like flipping through the MLS and not having the success that I expect. The result is the way we mail these properties out.
Mm-hmm.
So... The multiple listing service, I wouldn't even recommend it for buying houses. In fact, one of the projects mm-hmm. that's on my list is to release a program about how we buy houses, which is the same way we buy land, but it's a lot more focused geographic area. So, I mean, one of the worst things you can do is drive around on Sunday with your spouse and see which houses have a for sale sign in front of them and then only focus on those because that's, you know, oh, do I like the wallpaper? Oh, that's not how you do it. You send a letter to all the houses in the neighborhood that you like and negotiate the absolute best deal that you can.
Mm-hmm.
Five people are going to call you back. Exactly, Joe. Five people are going to call you back. You go look at all five houses and you choose the one you want. And mm-hmm. now you're way under market. And if you're smart, you'll buy the other four and resell them.
That's a really good idea. No, or rent them out.
Oh, wait, Steve, I don't have any money. Why the heck would I ever do that?
Or I buy them and I rentals. There's my rentals in my neighborhood.
Oh, wait, Steve,
too.
I don't have any money to rent those out. Trust me on this. Please, trust me. Whatever you're doing, stop it. Trust me. Put an ad in Craigslist. If you have if you sent a letter to somebody and the seller says, yes, I want to do this deal, and it's $40,000 or $20,000 below market, put an ad in Craigslist and say this. I'm new at this. I really don't know what I'm doing. I sent a bunch of mailers out. And I have multiple people that direct owners, there's no agents involved, that want to sell me their house for way below market value, and I don't want this acquisition to go to waste. Your phone will blow up with mm-hmm. people that want to partner, money people that want to partner this thing with you.
I'll call.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll call you.
I'll call.
Or call us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent, Jill. If you have an undervalued $40,000 spread on a residential deal, we will drop everything.
Call 888. Just kidding.
Oh, my gosh. What the heck? We just did like a skit.
That was really funny.
You are pretty, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much.
Join us in another episode where Jill and I discuss your all-important success in real estate investment and in life.
So you being a real estate agent were giving me a hard time.
We have a lot of members who are real estate agents, and I have a lot of respect. It's a great, you know, for real estate agents, this is an awesome side business.
Mm-hmm.
But, and we have very successful and retired real estate agents in the group. You know, it's just a different mentality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they, and it's not their fault.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that you're taught to be part of like this little exclusive group that has a silly little list, and that's where you do all the deals. And it's, look, the original reason that there are real estate agents long before there was ever licensure, you know, used to be you just be a real, you would hang up your thing and say, I'm a real estate agent now.
Mm-hmm.
Or you'd send in $30 like you did to be a notary.
Mm-hmm.
Right now in Arizona, if you want to be a notary, you send in five, you fill this form out, send in $25, I think.
I don't know.
You buy a stamp and that's it.
Right.
It used to be like that for real estate agents. And then the value that they would bring is, you know, you would walk into their, there's no MLS. You walk into the store and say, my family needs to move here. Do you know anybody that wants to sell their house? So yeah, this socialite personality person would said, oh yes, I have four houses that we should look at because I know right. they want, you know, they socially know the whole people, everybody in the town, and they add some huge value.
Right.
Those times are long, long, long gone.
Yeah, it's very
now
different.
It's just, they've taken the talent out of it, and now it's just an exclusive little group. And somebody also told me it's one of the largest lobbyist groups nationally.
Oh, that's very interesting. I didn't know that. So, yeah, I don't want to knock on them because it's, I mean, there's a lot of very successful, and we have a lot of friends that are realtors.
Right.
You know, and stuff. It's just a whole different gig, if you will.
Right.
And you and I both sat through, boy, we've sat through all the stuff and gone through all the way to the end, taken all the tests. So I'm aware of what goes into that. So,
well, we didn't take the tests.
Well,
but
I mean, you know, we got, I sat through, you know, all the knowledge.
That's a great point, Jill. I would highly recommend going to real estate school mm-hmm. and not taking the test just because you can learn so much.
Right. I mean, you can just, but, yeah. There's a lot of knowledge there. It's interesting.
Learn to send out direct mail. Forget about the MLS. Let's go buy some property that way.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com.
If you want to get involved or you need more information about our profitable, niche real estate operation, call 480-467-0359. You just might get Jill at the other end of the line.
LandAcademy.com. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.